Blog Talk Radio.
Let the Holy Ghost be in here now. Do you feel it?
Come on.
Do you feel
it?
Look at your touch. Lord, I believe I'm wrong.
Oh,
Good evening and welcome each and every one of you tonight to the Tuesday night Bible study with Brooks. And it has been a glorious day in the fact that this is the day that the Lord has made, day that we've never seen or experienced before, a new day, and so we thank God for that. But just as there are great days, there are also times of sorrow in some of our days. But we're encouraged by the Word of God. The Word of God tells us that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. In the Old Testament, it tells us, if you have no joy, leap for joy. So sometimes life does not go the way that we want it to go all the time, but it goes the way that God would have it to go. And for that, we're grateful that we are children of God. We're grateful that we have a right relationship with God. We're grateful that we know the Lord, and that no matter what the situation is, God is still on our side. God still has our back. God is still concerned about us. And praise God for you. Today's topic is dealing with grief and encouragement from the Word of God. One of the things, lost a friend of mine on last night, the Elder Billy Macklin, assistant pastor at Temple of Deliverance in Memphis, Tennessee. He passed on last night, so I solicited your prayers for his family, that we pray for them, that the Lord give them strength in dealing with the loss of a father, husband, friend. And one of the real characteristics of Elder Macklin, that he was a true man of God. And if you could not get along with Elder Billy Macklin, there was something wrong with you, because he was a humble man. He was a nice man. He did not go around stirring strife, but he tried to be that example of being a saint of God, a child of God. And we thank him for that life lesson that he has given us. And certainly we want to emulate his lifestyle, in that we would be humble, sincere people of God, and learn to treat everybody with love, honor, and respect, and treat them the way we would want to be treated. So let's pray for his family as they deal with this tragic loss. And praise God, and be praying for all the families that we know who are experiencing death of loved ones. I ask that you pray for the Brown family, even though you may not know them. Pray for them. They lost their mother and had her funeral Sunday. Lived in the community that I grew up in Dixonville, Tennessee. And so let's pray for the Brown family, that God give them strength as they go through this grieving process. One thing about the grieving process, all of us will endure it. All of us will have to go through. And the grieving process, like any other physical or mental or spiritual ailment that comes about, we will all have to endure these things, and we have to be willing and understand that God is on our side. That's one of the benefits of being a child of God. One of the benefits of being a Christian is that you know that God is with you and that God is on your side. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity that you've given us to come together by this medium to share and study your word. We ask that you would touch the hearts and minds of your people that are listening. We pray that for the families whose names that have been mentioned, we pray for their strength. We pray for their consoling. We pray for their consolation. We pray that they receive strength as they deal with the loss of their loved ones. Dear Lord, we pray for ourselves that we are able to be buffers and comforters to them, that we will say the things that will lift them up, the things that will give them strength and give them courage. Dear Lord, we ask that you bless your people everywhere. Bless us and keep us in perfect peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God and amen. And praise God. One of the, I guess, sort of ironies about Ella Macklin's death, he died 10 years to the day that his former pastor, Bishop G.E. Patterson, died. Bishop G.E. Patterson died. It was 10 years yesterday. And Bishop, and excuse me, and Elder Macklin died 10 years to the day of Bishop G.E.'s passing. So we ask the question, what is grief? Grief is that sorrow. Grief is natural. It's a emotion that we go through anytime we suffer loss. Most of the times we think about grief, we think about death, loss of life, losing a loved one. But grief really is more involved than just the loss of a loved one. A lot of times we have people who are walking around grieving who haven't lost a loved one, but they're going through a grief process. And some things that can trigger us going through grief. You don't have to necessarily lose a loved one. You can lose your health. Your health takes a turn to do what you used to do. Your lifestyle has to change because of your health. You lose a job, that will cause grief. You don't know where your money is going to come from now. You don't know how you're going to make ends meet. You don't know how you're going to provide for your family. You don't know how you're going to keep the things that you have. And so losing a job will cause grief. And some people, death, they lose a pet. And you know how people are today. Some people treat the pets like a part of an extension of the family, treat the pets like children. I see people driving with a dog in the lap while they're driving the car. Dog is jumping up and down in their lap, licking on their faces, and they treat the animal as if he or she is a part of the family. And when the pet dies, there's grief that some people experience through the death of a pet. And not too far away from here, there's a pet cemetery where people who experience these things, who have this attachment to the animals, they can take them and bury them in the pet cemetery, get a marker for the grave, and go through the process as we do with family members. Go back and visit the grave on the anniversary days and birthdays. Go and put flowers out. And also, ending a relationship can cause us to grieve. Whether it's a divorce, whether you're losing boyfriend, girlfriend, or even just some close friendships, people have falling outs, people get angry with one another. And in the process of losing longtime friendships, people begin to grieve over these situations. But it's one thing about God. God is able to help us go through every situation that we're going through. Remember Jesus said, he said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." When we look at grief, the psychiatrist Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who studied in college, you have to take psychology or sociology. And one of the things you will study about Ms. Kubler-Ross, she was a psychiatrist, and she came up and identified what we call the five stages of grief. Five stages of grief. Stage one, denial. This can't be happening to me. First thing we do is deny the problem, deny the situation. Can't be happening to me. It shouldn't happen to me. And then the next stage, the second stage, she says, is anger. After denying that it's happening and then realizing that it is happening, we get angry. We're angry. Why is this happening? Who is to blame? And here in the anger stage, this is where a lot of times a child of God really has to be careful, because this is where the enemy steps in. In the anger stage, you remember Jesus said to be angry, but what? Sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. As a person, as a human being, you can't help but to be angry at times. But Jesus said, you know, he recognized that you're going to be angry. God gets angry. God gets angry with sin. Jesus got angry. What did he do? He got tired of the money changers in the temple, made him a whip, went to the courtyard, started kicking and turning over tables and taking the whip, whipping people and running them up out of there. And he declared that my house is supposed to be what? The house of prayer for all people. But you've made it a den of thieves, and he ran them out. Then we see later on, after he ran them out, what did the money changers do? Things went back like they were. The priests and let the money changers back in. Jesus goes, and he does it a second time. And anger. At second stage, anger. Anger makes you ask the question, why is this happening? Looking for somebody to blame. Who is to blame? I have to blame somebody for the situation that I'm going through. And here the enemy steps in and have us to blame God. Many times you go to funerals. Person dies young, a person dies tragic. People often get up and put the blame on God, that God knows what he was doing. And I'm talking about tragic deaths, gun violence, somebody shooting people. But they go and blame it on God. God didn't have anything to do with that. The enemy, our enemy, but we blame God for what the enemy does. And that's the way we are. The enemy will have us blaming God for what he does and have us praising the enemy for what God has done in our life. And while we're going through grief, we start bargaining. She says, third stage, bargaining. You know how we get, especially if it's something, a prolonged illness. Sometimes we tell God, Lord, if you save, if you heal them, I'll give my life to you. If you deliver them, I will serve you. If you do this, then I will do that. And again, you go to funerals and you hear people, especially when a person has died from a lingering illness. And people get angry with God and say, I told the Lord, Lord, if you heal them, I would serve you. But really, we don't understand that we shouldn't be serving God because he heals somebody. We ought to serve God because God is. But sometimes we try to make deals with God when we should really recognize who God is. Then the fourth stage of grief is depression. Depression. We can allow depression to come in and become so sad that we don't do anything. Won't comb our hair, won't fix ourselves up, won't go anywhere. Sad, too sad to do anything. And the fifth stage of grief, that final stage, is acceptance. We finally decide and understand that we couldn't do anything to change the situation, and we have to accept what has happened and move on in our lives. So as we go through grief, grief is, somebody said it's like a, like getting on a roller coaster. Go, roller coaster starts off slow, gets you to the top, at the highest point, and then sits there for a while, lets you look around and see how high you are above everything else, and then before you know it, the roller coaster takes off on that run, and when it takes off, you are caught up in the in your emotions. You don't know whether to be afraid. You don't know whether to laugh. You don't know whether to scream. You don't know whether to cry. And you go through all these twists and turns that the roller coaster takes you on. But you know eventually that the ride on the roller coaster has to eventually come to an end. So we can go through grief. And grief, we get shocked, we become sad, we become angry, we become fearful. And another thing that grief does, it will not only affect us emotionally with these emotional scars, but grief can also hurt us physically. We go through grief and we don't get enough rest, we become fatigued. We don't take care of ourselves. We become nauseous. We won't eat anything. We lose weight. We eat everything trying to find a substitute. We gain weight. We find ourselves not putting calcium in our bodies, and bones begin to hurt. All of these things that grief can do to us, grief can put a hurt on us if we're not careful, and then before we know it, we're withdrawing ourselves from our friends, withdrawing ourselves from our families, and we're trying to get out of it. We're trying to get out of this grief. But a lot of times the steps that we take don't really bring us out of grief. They draw us deeper into grief. And this is where we have to be careful. One of the great things that God has given us is his word. His word will encourage us in the times of trouble. And so we're dealing with grief. Let's go to God's word. Again, we thank God for each of you who are online. We thank God. Thank God for those of you in the chat room. Thank God for your presence tonight. In Revelation, the book of Revelation, the 21st chapter, in the fourth verse, and very familiar passage of scripture. We know what this says. And said, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. God, so it, notice what it says. God shall do what? Wipe all the tears away from their eyes. There will reach a point in our lives that God himself will bring deliverance, will bring emotional deliverance, that God will take care of the hurt. And my brothers and my sisters, you don't have to wait till you get to glory. God will do it for you here on this earth. God will give you the resources to wipe the tears from your eyes. God will give you the encouragement to wipe the tears from your eyes. God will direct others into your life who will speak a word, who will offer encouragement that will touch you to the point that you know that God is still with me. God has never left me. God has never forsaken me. That God is taking me through what I'm going through. Look at the book of Psalms, Psalm 34. Let's look at that one. Psalm 34 and 18. Psalmist said, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. God knows your heart broken. And when God knows your heart broken, God is right there. Psalmist said, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Your spirit is broken. God is right there to heal you and deliver you. When we go through our grief, and again, I said earlier that grief causes us to withdraw. If we're not careful, you know, it's natural for us to withdraw from people, but if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves withdrawing from God. But we have to remember that, again, God is concerned about us. God knows the things that we have gone through. God knows the experiences that we're going through. Everything that we've gone through, somebody else has gone through it before. And God has always brought deliverance. You hear what I say? God has always brought deliverance. God says he will not put on us any more than we can bear. And what God and the things that come upon us, God is able and he's willing to take us through and to bring us out. Look at Psalm 147 and 3. It says this: he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. When you begin to just trust God and you look through the scriptures let us know that we have a loving God, that we serve a personal God. We serve God who is concerned about us. We don't serve a dead God. We don't serve an idol God. We don't serve a God who's made in the image of mankind. We don't serve a God who is made of stone and cannot hear. But we serve a living God, and this living God, he is willing to heal those who are broken in heart. He's willing to bind up our wounds because we are his children. We are his creation, and God loves us. We go to John 3:16. What does it tell us? That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And God loves us, and we have to realize this. When we realize that God loves us, then we'll start paying God some attention. But God is there for us. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and he sat down with his disciples. He opened up his mouth, and he taught them. And one of the things that he said in the Beatitudes, he said, blessed, the first blessing he gave in the Beatitudes was this, in Matthew 5 and 3. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Again, poor in spirit, your spirit is wounded, your spirit is broken. You possess the kingdom of heaven. God is concerned with you. And so God is concerned with mankind. The word of God gives us encouragement. We have to take this word that God has given us and take it in. Understand that you are a child of God. Understand that since you are a believer, you have access to the throne of God. God wants to save you. Now that God has saved you, God wants to take care of you. When you're going through grief, not only will God take care of you, but you have to learn to take care of yourself. One of the things that helps us dealing with grief, we have to find a hobby or find something that interests us, something that can help us come to terms with the things that we're facing and the things that we're dealing with. Do we ever get numb from everything that happens in our life? Tell you this, no. We never get totally numb, but we just learn to accept it, and we learn to deal with it, and we learn to know, as the scripture says, that all things work together for the good of them that love him and are called according to his purpose. You're a child of God. Whatever you're going through, God is able to take you through it. Whatever you're dealing with, God is able to bring you out. Don't lose faith in God. Don't lose focus in God. Put your trust in God. That's why we still pray. Go to God in prayer. Tell God your problem. Tell God your trouble. Read God's word. God's word will encourage you. Look for those who are willing to pray for you and pray with you. Look for those who are willing to give you an encouraging word. If things get so bad that none of these things will help you, you can't get delivered yourself, sometimes you have to find a therapist. Nothing wrong with a therapist. Sometimes we don't have the strength to do what it takes for us to get the results that we need. And we have to have somebody else who's pushing us to get us to that point. Just like a physical therapist. In actuality, very few people really need a physical therapist. All the physical therapist does is what? Show you how to bend, show you what to do, how to do it, having you to do it. But the problem is, why do we need a therapist? Because most of us won't do it unless the therapist is right there standing over us, forcing us to do it. In actuality, we don't need the therapist. We can bend our knees, we can bend our arms, we can twist our bodies or whatever therapy we're going through. All we really need the therapist is for one visit, two visits rather. The first visit is really to show us what we need to do, and the last visit to see if we are well enough and we've been doing what we are supposed to have been doing to see if the results are where they should be. That's all. It really don't need but two visits from for the therapist. But because we're not willing to push ourselves, because we're not willing to make ourselves do what we need to do, then sometimes we have to go to the therapist. And the therapist pushes us. The therapist encourages us. The therapist does not take no for an answer. And the therapist forces us to get in there and push, push, push. And before we know it, we are receiving that deliverance that we so truly need. Again, we thank God tonight for each of you. Thank God for, again, for you. We pray that you would pray for those names that have been mentioned. Also, we want to continue to be praying for Brother David Woods in Memphis, Tennessee. Pray that the Lord would touch him and heal his body. Again, we thank God for you. Praise God. Again, this has been a rough day for me, but I thank God that the Lord is giving me strength. I want to encourage you, meet me Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m., 6424 Bengestown Road, Bellington, Tennessee, as we have morning worship, Sunday school at 10 o'clock, morning worship at 11 o'clock a.m. Be encouraged. Be strong is my prayer for you. Again, let us pray. Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you tonight for these, your people. We thank you for this night that you have brought us together to share in your word. Dear Lord, I ask that you would lift every heavy burden. I ask that you would touch every troubled mind. Bless us now. Keep us in perfect peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God and amen. Praise God, saints. God bless you. God strengthen you. God keep you. Good night. See you next week.